that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and we're waiting on the homie Will T. We also are part of Empire Media, and you can find us, you can hit us up on empiremedia.com. Ray Jeezy, what's, hold on, excuse me, wrong one, hold on before we get here, like technical difficulties, excuse me folks. Ray Jeezy, what's good?
Really, you killing my vibe over here, bro. I'm excited to talk to you tonight about sports. I'm just trying to tell you my weekend, even my Monday has been dope. Today was good too. I've been watching a lot of like college hoops. In addition to just football, boxing, it was a great weekend, bro. So you already know, I'm watching college basketball already. I'm ready for March. I'm ready to come on with that analysis when the tournament time comes.
In-depth analysis, bro. In-depth analysis, homie. In-depth analysis. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, you know I'm boosted for Turkey Day, bro. You already know how I get down, dog. I bought some salmon. I
didn't even think about that.
You know what I'm saying? I bought some salmon. I got some shrimp. I'm about to stain some shrimp. That's what I'm bringing to the table. You know what I'm saying? We have an uncle, you know, we're Nigerian.
That buffalo chicken.
Hey,
that buffalo chicken salad used to make.
Wow, I did used to make that. Look at you and your memory, bro. It's amazing. I used to do that, yeah. But that shit, I mean, excuse me, I wasn't about to curse. That drink was bomb.
I did a Thanks Vegan last year.
How was that?
Vegan with some homies. It was good, except the tofurkey, for real, it was some type of soy-based, you know, meat, if you want to call it that, or fake meat. And, yeah, it did not digest very well for anybody who was there. But regardless, it was dope. I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I mainly, you know, regardless of how my diet is, I mainly eat plant-based anyway. So we'll see how Turkey Day turns out for me, quote-unquote. But, brother, if I had to put a theme on this show, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving-related. It would be Put It to Rest. That would be the name of this show.
Oh, yeah, you ain't lying.
If I had to put a theme on it. For real, because
yeah, right.
So much is put to rest this weekend.
Yeah.
First of all, of course, your man Heineke, he put to rest the Cam Newton argument.
I mean, to a certain extent. Of course,
my man Terrence Bud Crawford, he put to rest the argument that he's never dominated a top-tier opponent.
Yep, definitely. You know what I mean? And Scott Turner put it to rest that maybe he's a decent play caller. You know what I mean? So it is what it is, man.
Now we just got to put Hakeem Wong and these picks to rest. You got to beat this dude, man. I already emailed him. I got it out of the way. Hakeem, you got your pick, brother.
Oh, I haven't done that yet, but it is what it is. He's going to be patiently waiting. Patiently waiting, my man. Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the urban sports scene.
This show can also be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options and local news and health in the DMV region. How long is it going to be a new app? Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of
our
shows.
My bad.
As well as other great content. It's cool. Other great content. It's cool. But it's been around for a while. just download the podcast DC app. It's not new.
It's not new anymore, bro.
Of options and local news and health in the DMV region, baby. Let's do it.
Ray basically saying I got to change the read. So he's right. It's not new anymore.
I did kind of read it today, but I went off memory as well.
Yeah, I know. I know you did, though. I'm saying the read that's on the outline. That's all I'm saying, bro. I did. Hey, we'll see when Normie say this, but he's not in the building right now. Let's get into the tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington football team defeating Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers and their upcoming Monday night matchup against Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. At 8:30, we'll talk about what Ray mentioned, Bud Crawford stopping Sean Porter to retain his WBO welterweight title. Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson will jump on the show to discuss this with us. Finally, we'll make our Week 12 NFL picks. Again, that's something that Ray alluded to. But first, Sunday, in a revenge game for Coach Rivera, the Washington football team defeated Cam Newton. I know, right? Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, 27-21. Jeezy, your thoughts on the game?
Shout out to the Washington football team, of course, and also some guys, including Terry McLaurin, made an appearance at the Wizards game last night. Did not necessarily rub off well on the Washington basketball team, but listen, the last time I saw Washington football team players making appearances and it being notable was when Brian Arakpo, RG3 showed up at the Miami Heat Wizards game back in 2012, baby. Listen, we getting vibes of that late season run is coming. But anyway, I don't like to be redundant because, you know, we part of the Washington football team podcast community. Uh-huh. So it's been a lot of jubilant shows. Of course, you know, I got love for everybody out there. Shout out to all our people.
Yeah.
But I'll put out the obvious real quick, but yeah. I enjoyed, of course, which is Washington's success on third and fourth down on offense versus one of the top defenses in the league on the road.
Yes.
And, of course, Terry McLaurin, he's just further ascending to elite status.
Yeah.
But I talked about this last week, Wole, and it was mentality and that mindset of, you know, what do we have to lose? And we saw that again from this football team this week. In an environment where some teams may have easily folded, especially considering the fact that you fell behind early.
Uh-huh.
But the Washington football team improved to 3-1 versus the NFC South this season. That was impressive on the road in Carolina.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, the defense continues to improve. That was impressive. That's what I'm liking. I'm liking what they're doing, growing off of, you know, what they've done over the last some odd weeks. I like the way Ron Rivera, you know, coached, to be honest with you, as a whole. Because early in the game, in the red zone, you saw Gibson fumble, and he pretty much benched him the whole first half, and that made Gibson hungry. And to me, that he ran the best I've ever seen him run in that second half. I don't care about the yardage; it's just the way he ran the football. He ran with purpose, and it would, to me, that wouldn't have happened if Ron Rivera didn't bench him. Because you got to set a tone. You got to show. You know, you got to show your players that you mean business. Like, it's cool, like, to go out here and, you know, make these poses, when you make big plays and whatnot and kind of feel yourself. But when you mess up, you got to be punished. And I like that Coach Rivera punished him in that drive. I mean, that half, and he learned from and became, to me, was a better running back. And that will make him a better player because he now knows that he can't screw up. Because if he screws up, Coach Rivera is ready to bench you. You know what I mean? He can go to McKissick, who was effective on the run. Like, McKissick was averaging over, like, I want to say about 6 yards or 5 or 6 yards a carry in the game. So, to be exact, he was averaging 6.6 yards a carry. So, and he went to Jared Patterson a little bit, who had some effective runs. So, it gives a player like Gibson to know, you know what? Hey, I got to step up. I can't be fumbling anymore. So it puts everybody on notice. You mentioned Scary Terry. I mean, he continues to play good football, elite wide receiver football. Kind of reminds me of the days of, you know, you seeing other wide receivers out there without a quote unquote franchise quarterback able to put up those numbers like a DeAndre Hopkins. Sometimes, you know, a bunch of before Deshaun Watson got into the Texans, where he had to kind of go through a plethora of quarterbacks who weren't elite, but he put up numbers. So. It's cool to see, you know, some of these guys ball out and play out at a high level. The whole thing is about being consistent, right? I don't want to, like you said, I don't want to be redundant with all these other podcasts and, you know, throw out all this positive stuff. But at the end of the day, you want to see this team be consistent and you want to see steps moving forward to a place where you can talk about this team proudly, you know what I mean, and mean it and not be scared that it's going to be a negative outcome or something. So They've got to be consistent. They got to keep playing the same way. Coach Rivera has implemented a good game plan, in my opinion. I think he's now coaching like he coached in Carolina. He's bringing a physical style of football, which this team has kind of adapted to and kind of finding an identity.
What's hilarious is with all the positivity, still some people out there like, oh, man, we in primetime next week.
But you know what's wild? But even that, like, Rivera himself is his record on primetime with this Washington football team has been pretty good. So whatever that means, I think people are kind of like,
what is that?
He's like undefeated.
And that includes the Philly win too.
He's undefeated. He's undefeated in primetime with Washington.
I mean, so is that 2-0? Is that 3-0?
They count. It's the 3-0. I think it's like 3-0.
Chuck Sapienza.
Yeah,
I think it's lie. You don't know.
No. It's been tweeted. Like, no, real talk. It's been tweeted. No, it's a good record. It's like the Pittsburgh game that was moved. The Pittsburgh game that was moved on Monday night. The Eagles game. Mm-hmm. There's another game. The Giants game of this season. The Giants game this season.
Don't get ahead of yourself because you had swagger coming to the season. Yeah. Although
the Giants
game
this season,
this team is making a push, uh-huh. and now you hopefully will learn from last year that you don't count a team out because as you can see, if you get to 500, you're right there in the thick of things. But going back to Antonio Gibson real quick, getting the Darnell Jefferson treatment. You know who Darnell Jefferson is, right?
That name sounds familiar. That's the
you ain't have cable. My bad. Growing up,
the program. I know what you're talking, bro.
Did watch it.
Yeah, I did watch it, bro. Watched it a few times.
College, that DVD was circulating. Right? I'm sure it was.
Shut up. I saw it before. College, you jerk.
You saw it on WBCA.
No, I saw it before. College, you jerk. I saw the rated R rendition of it. Go ahead, man. Continue, bro.
Okay, so. You mentioned Antonio Gibson being punished because it's been a consistent issue, him fumbling.
Uh-huh.
But did you peep during the broadcast when he came back in? Of course he ran well, but he still held the ball kind of loose.
That one run you're talking about. Yeah,
well,
I know.
Okay, exactly. So his point on that one run, does that mean that moving forward, kind of like Tiki Barber had to do in his career, he's going to need some extra coaching or he's going to need someone to take him aside and work with him, specific on ball security, high and tight almost. Like I said, like Tiki Barber, you think that's going to be –
he got to do that in the offseason.
He's in on moving
forward. He got to do that in the offseason. He don't got time. Like, he got to change his whole the way he holds the football. But that's got to be in the offseason because that's his repetition. That's something he's going to have to practice. Like you said, the program, like that dude is pretty much carrying the football throughout the whole day. So it's something that he's going to probably have to do in the offseason. But I saw a difference in terms of when he hit the hole. Most of the game, he wrapped up. But you're right, though. I mean, he's still loose with the ball. Like, he's loose with the ball. But you saw a change. Like, throughout the season, I don't think anybody peeped game. Like, he's been running that way without even – putting two hands on the football. You saw at times when he was going through those holes and he was hitting it, he was hitting the holes hard, that he would put two hands on the football for most of that game in the second half. So the message was clear. You know what I mean? Nobody want to lose the bag, bro. Like, nobody want to lose their position. If he loses the starting position, losing time, he ain't getting that bag no more. And of all the love for Jared Patterson and McKissick, I ain't gonna lie. You know, I've been tough on Gibson, but he is when he's running the right way. He is the best running back on the team. Like, I see it. Like, he is the best running back.
He's so talented.
Yeah, you see it. You see it, bro. Like, you see it. It's not even – I'm not going any front. Like, I like Jared Patterson. It's a good story. But he's better. He's way better. He just has to cover – he just has to wrap up when it comes to, like, covering that football. He has to wrap up. So
emphasis on running the football. Mm-hmm. We've been all preaching it as analysts, as fans. And Scott Turner is now starting to implement it. And it's paying dividends. I'm loving the smash mouth football. Uh-huh. These long, sustained drives. Well, like, we've been talking about this since the preseason. So it's coming to fruition, and it's not too late because you still got the majority of your division games down the road. This was another good showing, and I'm hoping to continue the momentum come this Monday night.
Facts. So for you, Ray Jeezy, if you had to give a player a game ball, who would you give it to?
Oh, you know, I already put this out here. I got Terry McLaurin.
Oh, yes,
and I thought initially that Chase was the leader on the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Terry just being reliable, durable, because he got injured during the game, but he came right back in and played well. And he's also the most consistent in terms of productivity. I mean, we're talking 5 receptions, over 100 yards and a touchdown. And somebody hit me with this on Sunday. They said, look, Terry's a 3rd-round pick, but he's the best receiver in his draft class. and I couldn't argue. I'm looking at Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Hollywood Brown, who, of course, drafted ahead of them. We're talking about first-round draft picks. I'm like,
A.J. Brown. Like, AJ, I mean, Brown, too. I mean, Brown from Tennessee. He was in the same draft class.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I could argue that
DJ Metcalf, too.
I think Terry might be.
DJ Metcalf.
Do you think Terry's the best receiver in that draft class?
I think that he's the one that's playing. It's hard to judge. I think he's the best. I'm being biased. I'll say that I could be biased. Okay. But
I couldn't argue with that's all I'm saying.
But this is my thing. Like, all those dudes that we mentioned have good quarterback play. Like, I am very interested to see Terry
that's
with good quarterback
so
play. That's what makes it different than anybody else. That's why I think he's the best in the class, because, like, I can't say that these dudes, like A.J. Brown, DJ Metcalf, all the, I don't think they put up the same numbers without those caliber of quarterbacks. Like, they have decent, even Ryan Tannehill is respectable. Like, but this dude has seen a revolving door of quarterbacks like Alex Smith. He had Case Keenum. He had, Haskins. He's had this season.
Mm-hmm.
Look what he's had this, Taylor Heineke.
Kyle
Allen. Like, dude, know what I'm saying? And he still puts up numbers. That's numbers. That's why when I mentioned the, comparison to DeAndre Hopkins, like, that's when I always told folks, like, you know, I was always like, it's between DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones. Like, but I will not argue, because DeAndre Hopkins has no quarterback. And Julio got Matt Ryan, who could throw the football. Like, so I was always like, if you make the argument DeAndre Hopkins is better than Julio, I won't argue with you, because I think, like, that dude don't have a quarterback. Like, that dude puts up numbers regardless. With piss poor quarterback play. So the same thing applies to me here with Scary Terry. You know, usually you see quarterbacks put up astronomic numbers wide receivers when they have decent, really good quarterbacks. Davante Adams has Aaron Rodgers. And when Aaron Rodgers is out, and people can look up the stats. When Aaron Rodgers is out, Davante Adams ain't the same Davante Adams. He's not the same Davante Adams. You saw the difference Randy Moss is great for whatever, but when Randy Moss went to Oakland, he was piss poor. I mean, in terms of stats. In terms of stats. I'm saying stats. I'm not saying his play, because he played back.
No,
it was a drop off. Look at the stats, bro. He had compared to what he normally does. Like, it's a big drop off. Then he goes, he plays with Tom Brady. Boom. Look what's happening. What happened with Odell Beckham playing with, Baker Mayfield. I'm just saying, like, bro, but this dude's scary. It don't matter. He gonna put up numbers.
Yeah, I don't know if that's attributed to just the fact that he's a flat-out beast that works on his craft and he's just an ultimate team guy, and or the coaching staff putting him in a position to succeed as well. But I know Heineke loves to get that man the ball, period.
You know why? It don't even matter, bro. Like, this is the thing. The coaching staff's, like, if a defense want to take you out, typically, if you got to be double, you're getting double. Ain't nothing you really – if you can double wide receiver, he has no weapons. Bill Belichick – Bill Belichick does it. He does it a lot. Like, he'll double you and make somebody else beat you. And for some strange reason, even when your second, your first, your other receiver is somebody like Cam Sims, it's not like he's playing alongside somebody who's dynamic on the other side. It's usually just him. Like, I'm being
perfect. There you go. That was my biggest point. When guys go down around him but don't play well,
he's still there. He's still putting up numbers.
So I appreciate this, man. Like I said, game ball, he might be the MVP of the season for this team. Yeah. But I didn't even give you a chance to say who your game ball
is. I think Scary was a good one. I mean, I was going to go with if I had to give a game ball to somebody, I would give it to Heineke because he answered the call, 3 touchdown passes. And, you know, it's a lot of pressure in the game. I mean, it was his homecoming to a certain extent, but that was overblown. Okay, I hate when people say that. Nobody in Carolina cared about Taylor Heineke like that. But, you know, he had 206 yards, and he played a smart football game. Still the luckiest quarterback I've ever seen in terms of getting certain passes through. But I would give it to Taylor Heineke. And I give a special game ball to Scott Turner. I know everybody thinks I hate on the dude, but I give a special game ball to Scott Turner. I think he coached a hell of a game in terms of in terms of playing a physical football game, because you got to play, when you play a defense like the Carolina Panthers, and, you know, you got Cam Newton out there who everybody's like, you know, everybody's geeked up for. He played well, and, you know, you were able to kind of go through all those emotions and still put in your print in that game. It was. I thought Taylor Heineke stepped up tremendously in that football game. So I give him a game ball.
Sweet. I'm not gonna hate on Heineke. And I know that Will T is not here, but speaking of the man you mentioned, he threw three TDs. Has his last two performances changed your opinion on him? I'm gonna let you go first because I've been consistent about homeboy since before he even started a game, going back to last season when Alex Smith was hobbled. But go ahead, Wally.
It's changed a little bit. I just feel like there's a little bit of there are certain things involved for me that changed my mind with them. Just for this football team, is that one, you're not putting all the pressure on him. You're all running the football a lot more. He's playing more of a ball control game, but he is answering the bell, making some plays within the plays he's asked to make. I believe he threw, his yards in this football game against Carolina was only like 206 yards, and he only threw the ball 22 times. I think that's a formula to win with Taylor Heineke. You're not asking him to throw the ball 40 times. You're asking him to throw the ball 20 times, which is good. Like, I feel like if he does that, manages the football game, runs when he needs to run, make some special plays, in between that, you can win football games. My issue has always been if you put too much on him, if you're treating, and I said this, I'm going to sound redundant, but I don't care. If you treat him like he's an elite quarterback, throwing the ball 40, 50 times, then you're going to have an issue. Like, then you're going to have an issue with the bad Taylor Heineke. But if you limit it, you run the football with three individuals, you got an opportunity to win football games, my man.
Brother, it's called execution. And you know what? I can't give Taylor Heineke all the credit.
Yeah.
Because I do believe the change with the red zone success in comparison to like the Broncos and Green Bay games, I do think Scott Turner made some adjustments.
Yeah.
And you're speaking of it, running the football. But Heineke made big plays with his legs, extended drive. And he also, that DeAndre Carter touchdown was one of the most impressive that I've seen him
throw
this season, because he had to hang in there and he found the open guy, wide open at that. And he didn't need to throw a bullet. He lofted it right there in the end zone. It was perfect. And that's a huge difference when you're getting 7 points instead of three, or potentially zero, because the kicking game hasn't been good this season, although maybe that's changing now.
Yeah.
But like I said, I've been excited about him from the time I advocated for him to play in that playoff game, from the time that he actually went out there and put his heart and laid everything on the field against Tampa in that playoff game. Because, Wole, we've said this about him the whole time. We've been consistent about him competing.
He's
always going to compete, and he has the support of the locker room. Everybody loves the way he plays the game, and that's the most important. The only reason I mentioned recently that he should be benched is because I thought Washington, I could not guess what they were going to do next with the kicking situation, with some of the personnel moves that Ron made. So I'm like, I guarantee that Kyle Allen is going to be inserted in the lineup following the bye week. I just knew it. But I got to give Coach Rivera credit in the fact that he stuck with Heineke. But my opinion hasn't changed on him. He plays hard. He gives you a chance to win. And if your defense was who they were supposed to be from the beginning, we might be having a whole different conversation about where the team is in the standings.
Yeah, but
so Heineke wasn't supposed to be that dude. And now he's doing just what you need him to do. You already said it.
Yeah, no, and I think that the defense – like, there are certain things. There's a lot. There's a lot of ego, bro. A lot of ego within players and coaches. The reason why the defense hasn't performed the way it's now performing.
Arrogant.
It's arrogance, bro. Like, it's all it is, man. It's Rick Martell arrogance. We make a joke. We personally make this joke all the time about Rick Martell. Wrestling fans know what time it is. But, yo, that's what it is, man. It's a Rick Martell arrogance, bro. Like, with some of these players and coaches, man. And there's no reason why this defense should, I'm not even saying, like, should be as good as it is now, but the way they were playing the first half of the season, compared to what it is, like, they had to do is play a little bit of the way they're playing now in the beginning portions of this season, and they would have won about a couple more games added to this. Like, this is what the defense was supposed to be, and even the offense had coached it up to a point where this quarterback wasn't throwing the football X amount of times, they would have been in a better situation, because the defense would have been off the field. The offense would have had long scoring drives. And I think I saw something on Twitter that stated that, Ron Rivera talked to Scott Turner about, play calling and things of that sort. So they've had discussions with Jack Del Rio as well, too. So I'm not just putting out Scott Turner, both individuals. And there has been some improvement. There's been a change. Like, I don't care what's any, there has been a change in philosophy. That I think we all have seen that. And when I mentioned that earlier in the segment that they're playing more physical, that this didn't come out the blue. Like they've been playing more. They've been playing more physical after the out. Well, it's been out the blue, to be honest with you. They've been playing more physical after the bye. Like it is. Like after the bye, they've been way more physical. Like way more physical. So I think that if Rivera did talk to Turner and Del Rio, it worked, and he deserves credit for that as well. So, but hey, Ray, do you think that real quick about Scott Turner? Do you have any change in terms of him as an OC? Do you think he's like that dude, or do you think he's still the same dude we think he is, and we're not taking him off the hook?
No, I don't think it's fair. If a guy like Eric Bieniemy, who has years of
true fact
coaching success and a big and a large body of work, I think we need to see more than just a few games. Mm-hmm. He's got to continue to be more consistent. But of course, shout out to the homie Big Doug, the league.
Oh man, he loves
and
him.
Many around the league, they're high on him.
Big Doug loves him. I don't care about many league. Big Doug loves that dude. I don't know why he loves him too much.
This is just validating their opinions that he is that guy. For me, you know, if I play well for two games, would you give me credit? Probably Max. Not. You say, come on, keep it going. So I'm not going to say that just yet. I want to be consistent. There's nothing wrong with identifying that these last two games, the offense has performed much better. But,
yes.
Dude, we're not the offensive geniuses. Me and Wole aren't, but we've been telling you to run the football. And now you're doing it, and now look what's happening. So maybe we need some credit, Dak, on it.
Facts, bruh. Facts. Maybe we deserve the bag. Hey, you're listening to the Earth is Sports, so you're part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. All right, man, Monday night, Washington takes on Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle hasn't played that well so far this season, but is this a game that Washington should win?
Hey, well, I know Wood just jumped on. Yeah. We still talking to Washington football team, baby.
He's a Washington fan. He can jump in.
He is. But what I'm going to say to that is Seattle knows that they cannot win their division. They know that the Arizona Cardinals or the Los Angeles Rams are going to win that division. So Washington, they're going to be in your way in trying to possibly get that wild card spot in the playoffs. So they're going to come in a desperate football team, and a desperate football team is a scary football team. However, if Colt McCoy can have success against this defense, against this Seattle defense,
facts,
then why can't Taylor Heinicke?
So true. Hey, right now we have Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson on the line. What's good, Wood? And Wood, you can jump, like Ray said, you can jump into this conversation. So I'm going to peg you with this question too, man. Is this a game that Washington should win? They're playing the Seattle Seahawks on Monday night. Is this a game they should win?
I think if they want to be what they want to be, I think they got to look at it that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, the team has to start, you know, like I think we chopped it up online a couple times, uh-huh. but it's crucial for every team in the league. You got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. You got to get one or two upsets. And then, you know, you got to go 500. Against the teams that are better than you or something. You know, it's a formula to all of this. And I think they got to look at this as a game we should win.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, but like Ray said, this team is going to be, Seattle's going to be hungry. And anytime you got, you know, that dude at a quarterback position, and Russell Wilson is that dude, and he's coming off that finger injury, I'm sure that's one of the main reasons why he's kind of struggling. But, you know, if I'm Seattle, you're going to be confident enough to say, you know what, we can go in here and beat Washington. But on the flip side, like Ray just said, if I'm Taylor Heinicke and you saw what Colt McCoy just did to that offense, you're thinking to yourself, like, I can make some plays, you know what I'm saying? But I would definitely put it on Scott Turner to say, hey, don't try to have this dude throw 40 times because you saw Colt McCoy put up numbers. Stick with the same game plan, run the football, win the time of possession, and then, you know, use some play action and then sprinkle in some Taylor Heinicke special plays. And Taylor Heinicke, don't be scared to tuck that ball under and run with the football and get some positive yardage. But I think it's a winnable game myself. On Facebook, but we also tweeted this question on our social media platforms such as Twitter, at Urban Sportsing, and on our Urban Sportsing Facebook page. Facebook comment from the homie George said, this is a game they ought to win, but we've seen a few Sunday and Monday night games that fell in that category and they lost them. Keep the same formula, dominate the time of possession by using all three running backs and get an efficient game from Heineke.
Spot on.
You know what I'm saying? Spot on. Like, you know, run your three-headed monster. Gibson, run with that same energy that, you know, when you fumbled and you came back in that second half, run with that same energy, and then I think they'll be all right, man. I think this is a game, a very winnable game. But actually, let's just jump. We don't got to go to break. We can jump right into the next segment. You know, we brought in Wood because, awesome. You know, a big boxing fight went down. A big outcome went down. You had Terrence Bud Crawford retaining his WBO welterweight championship by TK Owen, Sean Porter in the 10th round. It was a dynamic fight. In the beginning, it looked like it was going any which way. But, you know, the cream rises to the top. And to me, you may have the best pound-for-pound, I mean, welterweight in the game in Terrence Bud Crawford.
Put the stuff to rest.
I'm saying. Facts, bro. So it is what it is. So, Wood, you wrote an article on ByteDownBoxing.com about this fight. Can you summarize a little bit about what you wrote about the fight?
Yeah, the article was basically, you know, I didn't post it the night of the fight, so I tried to use the first half of it to do a recap for anybody who didn't watch the fight. So I kind of tried to condense, you know, 10 rounds of action into kind of a tale of two halves, uh-huh. with the first five rounds kind of being, I had it 4-2 for Porter after the first six rounds. And then I think, I think he just kind of ran out of, options and new ways to get inside and kind of maintain the momentum that he had over the first portion of the fight. And in those last four rounds, I just feel like he was kind of neutralized. And uh-huh. I think once he was only credited, and I put some CompuBox stats in the article. Uh-huh. I don't rely on those 100%. Yeah. I think, but you know, they are they do factor into the story of the fight. Uh-huh. And he was only credited with landing one jab from the sixth round on. And being that he's a shorter guy, he didn't get inside where he needed to be. And then without being effective with the jab, that was going to make that pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all know what the outcome was. You know, Kenny Porter stepped up on the apron after the second knockdown and said, hey, all those jokes y'all had on Zab Judah all these years with the stanky leg, we're not going to do that with my son. We're not having that. We're going to get up out of here. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Have a good night. You know, he did his own thing. But then in the second half of the article, you know, I tried to take a look at what's next, kind of briefly. And I think, none of us really need to see you guys, Yordanis, you guys, the WBA champion. None of us really want to see him in the mix with them three, along with Errol Spence Jr. Uh-huh. being the three champions of the division. And plus, people can't forget, you guys is kind of tied up for potentially two fights with the WBA trying to sort out its champion. Uh-huh. So he's really not available unless there's some kind of politicking that goes on and they make it work. But right now, he's scheduled to fight, I believe, Amantis Stanionis is the person that he has. And what they've created is kind of like a final four, between four fighters to get to their champion. So that would be one fight right there for him already. And then if he beat Stanionis, he would face the winner of Butaev, and I cannot think of the other cat's name in that mix. I apologize. But so he's kind of off the chessboard for right now. So that moves us into EJ and Bud Crawford. The thing that lines up good for us was that EJ was at this fight. He was ringside. No, he didn't come into the ring. No, he didn't do any media, from what I can tell, except for with the YouTuber guys. But, that shows that there's some interest in the fight. And then the other chip that kind of fell into place was that in the post-fight press conference, Bud Crawford mentioned that he'll be moving on, separating or parting ways with his longtime promoter, Top Rank. So that's no longer going to be an issue. And it just comes down to, you know, how do these guys talk and make this happen? You know, how do they get this fight made? And you know, we got Spence, who's been inactive. He came on. He's coming off of an eye procedure. So what does boxing, does it do the right thing for once?
That's the question that we always like to ask. We're moving in the right direction. This fight was evidence of that. And you said a whole lot there. Well, by the way, it's good to have you, brother. I ain't talked to you since the round table discussion we had a few months back. But Letitia Crawford posted today on Twitter, why do people think that Errol Spence has more power than Bud? And speaking of Errol Spence, of course, what you talked about, he posted, if I was Sean, I wouldn't pay my daddy, LOL. What did you think about Kenny Porter stepping in? Were you surprised by it, is what I need to know.
I am, because, you know, you guys talk a lot about baseball. You cover baseball on the USS. You know, Kenny Porter broke an unwritten law. You know, baseball is full of those.
Yeah.
He broke an unwritten law in boxing. You know, his son was not badly impaired and staggering around and, you know, not coherent and whatnot. And we just see this man punching the canvas and getting so pissed
off. I know, he was so mad.
And then he stepped up and intervened. So I think one thing that I don't like about it is you can't, you know, they don't pull. Who was that a couple of weeks ago that Tom Brady and them beat the hell? Was it Atlanta?
It was somebody that they
smoked a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it was Dallas beating Atlanta. Somebody just smoked them.
It was Dallas. It was Dallas.
Yeah, they didn't pull Ezekiel and Dak off the field and Cooper and all of those guys. You got people who pay airfare to get out there. You have people that reserve rooms and pay for, you know, to be up in the casinos and the resorts and whatnot. You just can't take away that money shot moment from boxing like that.
Yeah, and that's what made it so weird to me, what you mentioned, Wood, because I had it going into that round, the knockout round. I had Bud up three rounds at that particular point in time. Some people had it closer. I had Bud up three rounds. But like you said, like usually, you know, when somebody gets knocked down, even it was twice, it wasn't like he was still coherent. Like he had all his limbs. He wasn't wobbling. He was good. And especially when you a soldier like Sean Porter, where, you know what I mean? You don't want to take that away from somebody who doesn't quit. Like, he's still going to go all in at you. You know what I mean? The fight ain't over till it's over. I was just surprised his father, like, stopped the fight. Because, I mean, we didn't argue. We wasn't going to argue if that was, say, what happened to Deontay Wilder, because he just looked the part. Like, right? He looked like he was done. And he was still fighting on his shit, but he looked like he was done. Like, folks were scared for Deontay Wilder, even though he was still throwing. But they were scared for him because he just didn't look like he should be in the ring. Porter, it was to a point where, bro, like, you still in it. Like, you still are coherent. And also on other cards, I mean, there was a card where before that round, I think one judge had him down a round. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, all right, you're going to stop the fight, and you never know what can happen later on. I was like, yo, man, it's just a bad look. I didn't like it the way, because you're taking away from a little bit, not all of it, but a little bit of what Bud did. Like, Bud was great. He was spectacular. Like, he was amazing. Like I said, he's the number two welterweight in the game. But I don't like, let him finish him off. If it's like that, let him finish him off. One more knockdown, your son's out anyway. Like, one more knockdown is a TKO for real. So to me, I'm like, bruh, like, he was all right. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the look. And then when your father comes out and says that, well, basically, I ain't like the way he trained. So I'm punishing him. I'm like, bruh, this is boxing. This ain't, you ain't grounding your son. This ain't him at 10 years old. This is boxing. All right, he's out there. You know what I'm saying? And Andre Ward and everybody thought that he looked the best he looked, you know, period. I would argue that. I thought he looked really good, but I've seen him look better other nights. But he was good. He was regular Sean Porter, and Bud did some things to confuse him. But Yeah, that I just felt like I didn't like that look. That really pissed me off. Like that whole, that was just a bad look.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. Rolé does not like stoppages. You remember Miguel Burchell? He was just getting destroyed. And Rolé was like, why stop? And then he got knocked out cold right after.
But that was different, though, bro. Like, this Sean. But are you right? I don't like stoppages. I don't. You're right. I don't.
They clearly should have stopped that fight. What? But I'm just saying, I agree with you on this one. That Sean Porter could have fought on, and he probably would have got dropped again, to be honest.
Yeah, like you said, I'm serious.
Over with. So I don't disagree, but I'm just throwing it out there to the listeners, because if a fighter doesn't have their faculties, I'm all for it. Yeah. But if they seem like they're there, I'm with it. So, yeah, it was surprising. Kenny Porter, I don't understand sometimes. And I know Sean Porter. I know Sean Porter has a lot going on. He's always on TV.
Yes.
He started his own pod. So he was already transitioning for his post-fight, you know, career, and the moves he's going to make to continue to earn income beyond his fighting days, which is great. And he's awesome on TV, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's fought everybody. But that was the most bizarre thing I've seen, because Sean Porter, he's been in many battles, and I've never seen anything close to Kenny Porter thinking that he's going to step in and throw the towel. So, yeah, that was a weird stoppage, but regardless of, all credit to Bud.
It's all credit to Bud. I'm not taking anything. I just don't like that look for Bud, to be honest with you. I thought, like, let him finish him off. Like, let him finish him off. And then on the flip side, and Ray, I'll just go ahead. And on the flip side, then right after, you're going to announce you're retiring. Like, come, like, I'm like, what? Like, what? Really? Is this what we're doing?
Well, I agree with that, though.
Yeah, but it's not like, I don't know, bro. I don't like the look. Never mind. It is what it is. I don't like the look.
But he made a good point. He's like, I done lost to Thurman, Spence, and now Crawford.
So what else
I'm
next?
I'm a gatekeeper at this point, and that's not who I am. And we got to love him as boxing fans and analysts, because he didn't duck nobody. He fought the best.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Go ahead. You know, we got people that gamble a lot on boxing, too, man. And that's another aspect. Yeah. You know, I don't put money on fights because of stuff like this.
Yeah.
But you got that. You have that, too. And then, like you said, to go and say, like I said on my recap video, and then you got pay-per-view.
Yes.
Like, when the Super Bowl is trash, it don't matter. We didn't pay nothing to watch it. We didn't pay to see it. Like, pay-per-views have to go off, you know, with some type of integrity, man, because a sister commented on my video that she watched the fight for free, that she found a link, and I'm like, damn, you know, I put down my $70 for it.
I watched at a friend's house, so I didn't pay either. But go ahead, continue.
Don't
mess
with the link. Don't mess with the link.
Go ahead,
and that's the thing. Like, I don't mess with. I'm like, damn, she wouldn't got the link. She ain't never had no link with that link.
Hey, yo, go ahead.
And you know what? Hey, Will, I do appreciate that you bring up this point, because boxing is a business, and it's a business in my eyes that has not necessarily maximized top dollar, because they don't put together the best fights. So you're totally right about that. You know, I never thought about that when it came to the stoppage. So interesting. Shout out to Will Tito, our other co-host. He called it 10th round knockout for Crawford. And I said, Porter never gets knocked out. Ain't no way. I just knew it was going to go to the scorecard. And that's where I was concerned about Bud. But it looked like he was winning on every card. So listen, it wouldn't matter regardless, but still spectacular fashion. And now that pushes Bud. I mean, not Bud. It pushes Errol into a corner, because Errol was hating a little bit. I felt like he was cool about the whole thing, but at the same time, now there's no arguments. With Kell Brook, Terrence Crawford fought Kell Brook later on. So yeah, he knocked him out quicker than you did. But this fight, man, that's tough.
Yeah, you know, and this triangulation stuff, and who fought, who win, and who had an injury here, and who had whose wife was pregnant during training camp, and whose flight got canceled, and who went to whoever else's fight, who shoved who in the crowd, like all of this stuff. This is why we need the fight to happen. Like me and Wale rock with Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, what if Michigan and Ohio State this weekend just said, you know what, man, we both 10-1.
We ain't playing.
You know, we gonna cancel this weekend's game and We're going to figure out another way. We're going to let this marinate. So, you know, it doesn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah, facts. You know what I mean? People want this. You know what I mean? They want this.
And actually, Aerosmith, one thing that I mentioned in the second half of the article was this fight and the outcome of it, you know, because it was a mutual opponent and one who came into the ring, you know, 100%. This turned the tables to a degree. Like, sure. Now, Errol Spence Jr., your victories at 147 really don't, it doesn't lock up supremacy in the division for you. Yeah, you've been there your whole career and yada, yada, yada. But it's like, what has to happen for you to get pissed off and tell Al Haymon, look, bruh, the streets is saying different things, man. Make that fight. I need that fight. He's sitting here trying to talk about he out here throwing empty invitations to Canelo next year in AT&T Stadium. This man is gone to cruiserweight, bro. Like, he has no bargaining chips. He ain't really into you like that.
Oh, man.
Yo, so what? I'm going to ask you one more question, because hopefully while we got you on, if Vole's cool with it, I want to get your thoughts on Tank, who has a fight coming up this weekend. And also, we got JoJo and Devin coming up the weekend after next. So real quick, I know you're not too big on the pound for pound list, but Terrence Crawford, at least, you know, ESPN, he's always been right back. He's been behind Canelo these last several months. Do you think he solidified that spot right behind Canelo with his win over Porter?
You know, I never try to, like, put myself out there as this boxing genius. You know, the closest boxing gym to me is an hour away in Cincinnati. I think this fight, straight up comparison to Spence and Porter, that was a war.
Yeah.
It went to war. This right here was like a SEAL team extraction job where there was no mass casualties and all. It was a real precision operation that really it left me sitting here like, what did I watch? And then with King Porter intervening, it's like, what do I make of that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it kind of really messes up how I look at things. I don't know, man. I'll probably have Canelo still at number one, in my opinion, just because he's went up a couple of different weights but I don't know, man. Avni Yildirim, I can't really give him credit for that fight. BJ Saunders, you know, was doing
but
a
man,
little something.
Four, but I mean four, like, was that four in a year? Was it four fights?
But he's fighting. That's the point. He fights.
That's what I'm saying.
When last time we saw Terrence Crawford in the ring, it was during the heart of the pandemic against Kell Brook in a stadium with nobody. So that's what makes Canelo so impressive. And he fought Triple G when Triple G was the man.
So
You're right. I would have to still put you know, and Canelo is. I mean, they're kind of in the same. They kind of had the same approach to where they're really not trying to outbox you per se as much as they
want to finish you.
They set up their finishes well.
Yeah,
and you know, that's not everybody in that top group is able to do that. And these are the two. Now you got Inoue out there who some people have in their top three.
Uh-huh.
Inoue is just like, that dude is a different animal that's finishing people too. But I'd probably still go Canelo as number one pound for pound.
And you would have Bud too, though.
Got to,
and you have Bud. And you have Bud too.
Yeah, I have Bud. I have Bud second.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think that's fair. I think Bud's too. He's second pound for pound.
So Wood. Again, I mentioned Gervonta Tank Davis. Obviously, his fight is coming up. That's the same weekend as Devin Haney, JoJo Diaz. Isaac Cruz is now filled in, of course, for Rollie's Crazy Behind. If you follow him on social media, you already know what this dude is into. He had like an OnlyFans posted at some point. But anyway, Cruz is a big puncher. Yeah, Rollie's a wild dude anyway. But Cruz is a big puncher. However, I don't think he can outbox Gervonta. I think Gervonta is going to put him to sleep as well. What are your thoughts about that fight? Gervonta is a star, and Al Haymon, he's got some guys that, if he does his business right, you just mentioned that mega fight that we should be in Vegas to see. By the way, if Crawford Spence goes down to Vegas, we need to be there. But
yeah, facts.
He's got Gervonta, who's also a star. Gervonta always puts on a show. What do you think about him facing Isaac Cruz, who can punch? Not maybe as hard, but nearly as hard as he can.
You know, shout out to Cruz for stepping up. Might even be a better fight, in my opinion. I think Rowley would have really got embarrassed, and we would have saw how crude of a boxer Rowley is, and that wouldn't have even been entertaining for me. Cruz, you know, an action guy, and you get that, he's Latino, what is he, from Mexico?
I don't know, you're going to go with this now.
We're going to go there.
Where you trying to go with this? I'm African.
No,
okay.
No, I know what you mean. That warrior.
Mentality. I'm messing with you. No, I'm messing with you. Yeah. Oh, it's true. That's a fact. You ain't saying nothing wrong. That's a fact. They are like
right.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, Gervonta is one of the hardest punchers in the game.
Uh-huh.
He can box, but he entertains. You know, he's a bit of a dude. He's a bit of a savage, and so it's not about really winning pretty. He's constantly looking to land the big shots and get these guys out of here. Cruz doesn't have any tail of the tape or athleticism or hand speed advantages to speak of or anything. So it's going to be good while it lasts, but I just think he's going to be outgunned in this one. And, it's another exciting win for Gervonta. But, they got to get him the right opponent, man. I mean, it's out here. It's other sharks in them waters where the weight classes that he's hanging around. And again, I just don't know what it takes to make some of these fights happen.
Teofimo, I would love to see him fight Teofimo, definitely. So I just mentioned, of course, Devin Haney fighting Joseph Jojo Diaz. Wole and I had the privilege of covering Jojo Diaz when he fought Gary Russell Jr. right here in the D.C. area. And Jojo, good dude, good boxer. Devin Haney appears to be the more skilled guy, but Jojo has that dog mentality. Like you said, at their introductory press conference or the kickoff press conference of this fight, how do you see that fight going down? And this will help Haney, hopefully, to land some better fights, because I don't blame Diaz for wanting to fight Ryan Garcia, but, of course, we know the injury happened to Ryan, and that was perfect for Devin Haney, who is looking to land some bigger fights. He's been calling out Tank for a while, too. That's a possibility in the future. What's your thoughts?
It's a shame that that's how you have to get a fight, is that ish goes wrong
with
somebody else, and then they need
it. I know.
But, be that as it may, here we are. I thought Diaz's fight against Gary Russell Jr., while he came up short,
was great.
I thought his body work in that fight was impressive.
Yes, very.
And I think if he can duplicate that type of body work attack on Devin Haney, this could get pretty interesting. What the knock on Haney is, just doesn't always seem to have that power.
Yep.
You know, it's right. So can Diaz mix it up, make it ugly? Can he get close to him and bang? We saw Devin get rocked against Linares last time out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
So this is really, we don't, stateside, we don't really give a ton of credit to DAZN, but this little string of fights that they're in for the last 3 to 4, maybe 3 to 5, has really been worthy of whether you had to pay $19.99 for 1 month or you did the $38.
I love Wood, man. He's cool. He breaking that down. He break down the pay-per-view business, dog.
This is why you gotta have that DAZN subscription from time to time. Deliver us a good night.
Devin Haney's jab is going to be important. He's a longer fighter. He's a taller fighter.
If he
uses that jab like he can, because we've seen it, he has a very nice jab. I think he'll easily outpoint by 12-round decision. I do not see him stopping JoJo. If he does, I would give that brother all the credit in the world, and he would warrant a bigger fight. You know, Teofimo Lopez is saying after he knocks out George Kambosos, that's also coming up, that he's willing to fight Devin Haney. If Devin Haney stops JoJo happening as well. Although Tank needs to step in there, like you said, and get a bigger fight. Although I don't know what the way he moves, he's beyond strategic. It's, and that's why we got to get Leonard Ellerbe on this show. Leonard Ellerbe doesn't seem like the type that's going to babysit somebody. He wants Tank to be in big fights. But anyway, who would you pick in that Diaz and Haney fight?
I'm gonna take Haney.
See, I go okay. JoJo. I go JoJo. See, I go JoJo. Boxing. That's all good.
I'm gonna take Haney with the all around boxing, snicker skills, and all of that. You know, and the thing, like I said, and people and Bradley, but I thought he was spot on when speaking of Devin Haney. Like, we don't really know what the hell he is.
Yeah.
You know, and exactly. I think this could be a fight that really defines. What he is and where he is with his game, because while him and his father have went around talking about fighting various guys, I still don't feel comfortable, especially after he got rocked by Linares and not being a big power guy. I'm still wondering how he finishes rounds 9 through 12 against an elite, you know, another elite cat. So I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt in this, because this is only Diaz's second fight at lightweight. So and he wasn't
well,
a
yeah to me that benefits him.
He wasn't a that monster punch at 130. So
true.
I think it'll be you know, a decision. And like you just said, Ray, and mentioning the Teofimo Lopez fight against Ken Bosos Jr. this weekend. Where's that at? Mm-hmm. On the zone. So back-to-back weeks. The 1999 ain't looking too bad.
Yo, man, you a trip. Hey, before I let you go, what I want to kind of tap in back into Bud Porter discussion, because you did write something about leverage. You talked about it a little bit. I kind of want you to dive into it a little bit further. You said Bud now pretty much has the leverage, and you wrote that in your article. What can you go in detail in terms of what you meant by, like, does he have total leverage in the welterweight division?
Well, I think what's helping him, like I outlined earlier, they're already through one half of that Final Four tournament in the WBA. Butaev beat Jamal James, so now we need to see Stanionis and Ugas get their winner, and then that winner will face Butaev. So, like I said, that's tying things up. So then Bud comes over here and stops a guy who went to war with EJ. So that's what I'm saying. I think there's enough public buzz and all of that, that now we're looking at EJ like, what are you going to do? But the only out that he really has is that he is coming back from his eye injury.
Uh-huh.
But again, what I mentioned in the thing, like, do you even risk? It only takes one punch for you to never be able to box again.
Uh-huh.
And you go in here against a lesser name, that's risky to me. So it's like, why not just push? You didn't take any warm up coming back, you know, and going in there against a Danny Garcia. You beat the brakes off of him. So what's wrong with just coming back and making this fight against Bud? And like I said, it wasn't Bud and Porter wasn't. It actually is how I predicted the fight. I predicted that Bud would not engage with Porter the way that Spence did.
Okay.
But that was just a kind of a weird game plan for him. But it worked, you know, it produced the results that he wanted.
Uh-huh.
So like I said, that's just kind of where we are right now, is there is a lot of the talking heads out there are going to start mentioning. I know all the dudes on ESPN were obviously going to say he's the number one welterweight.
Of course, yeah.
But I would imagine some of the YouTubers, some of the internet guys will also start talking about the differences in the outcomes and how effective Porter was against EJ, pushing that to a split decision, by the way.
Yes.
And now you have Porter online. I didn't tune into his live tonight or whatever he's doing tonight to talk about the fight after the fact. But you know, he's saying that by far, you know.
He said Bud was better.
Bud is the best dude that he's been in the ring with.
He said that. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Spence, like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you've been at welterweight forever. There's nothing really for you to go up to 154 for, because his buddy The Charlo brother has three of the belts up there, and he's got a rematch against Castaño for that undisputed crown. So it's like, what are you gonna do, bro? I mean, why we gotta draw this out, and why can't we have nice things in boxing?
He said, "Why we have nice things? Oh my God!"
It's looking like Demetrius Andre may get that Jamal fight. For real, I'm just telling you.
Oh,
anyway, thank you, Wood.
Hey, but before we let you go, man, how can our listeners catch your content and tell them about Bite Down Boxing, the website, and the article that we've been referencing?
Yeah, please check me out over at www.bitedownboxing.com. I'm just a one man staff over there right now, and actually, I just started resuming since y'all had me in. Had me over for the panel a couple months back. That kind of got my engine going again. So I'm back writing, covering fights and whatnot. And the article was basically like, Bud Crawford or Terrence Crawford, do you believe? Uh-huh. And again, I don't know where people like what they like.
Yes.
So, but this fight was important. Because of it being against a mutual opponent. So that's that. As far as catching me, yes, please. Check me out over at BiteDownBoxing.com. And then also you can catch the digital content for BiteDown Boxing. Check that over on Pay Me No Mind, the YouTube channel, Pay Me No Mind.
My man. Hey, Will, we appreciate you being on. We know we got a bunch of boxing fights coming up down the pike. So we're going to have you on for those segments as well.
Appreciate it, man. All right, man. And let's get this W this weekend.
Hopefully, bro. Hopefully, my man. Hopefully. All right, Wood.
All right, fellas. All right. Take care.
Take care, my man.
All right,
real quick, we're going to go to break, and we're going to try to finish all these picks out. Well, actually, we can do it now. We don't got to go to break. We got our NFL Pick'em Challenge with the Football Garbage Time folks for week 12. After week 11, here are our records, the Football Garbage Time. Well, Will and Ray are 101-63. I'm 100-64. Here are our overall standings. I'm within the challenge. Hakun Wong is in first place with the Football Garbage Time. Will and Ray are tied with third, and I'm in fifth place. You can also check out our standings and picks on the Football Garbage Time website, www.footballgarbagetime.com. Within that same site, you can also check out the Football Garbage Time podcast and all things NFL football. All right, here we go. We're going to speak through this. Bears Lions Thanksgiving Day.
Can I just say real quick that Hakun pressed me out so bad last week that I couldn't even make my picks correctly because I was rushing to get the picks to him. So I picked Jacksonville to beat the 49ers. I've never done that.
What?
I was just trying to because you. He hit me up in like four different ways.
Oh my God!
But anyway, it's all good.
That's crazy, dude.
I'm sorry. I got the Bears Turkey Day, baby.
I got Bears too.
I heard they're going to fire their coach.
Me too. I heard that too. That's wild. All right. Yeah. I got the Bears as well. Raiders versus the Cowboys.
I'm gonna take the Cowboys on Turkey Day.
I'm gonna take the Raiders. Bills versus the Saints.
Of course,
you know, right? I mean, my man, Amari Cooper ain't playing.
I gotta pick Buffalo to bounce back. Trevor Siemian, I'm not feeling
me,
it.
Me too. Bills as well. Steelers versus the Bengals. I'm going with the Bengals.
I got the Bengals at home as well.
Buccaneers versus the Colts. I'm going with the Colts.
I'm gonna take the Buccaneers in this one.
Panthers, Dolphins. I'm going to go with the. That's a tough one. I'm gonna go with the Panthers.
I got the Dolphins in this one.
Yeah, tough one. Titans versus the Patriots. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
I got the Patriots as well. Bella cheater, baby.
Bella cheat, dude. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Eagles versus the Giants. I'm going with the Eagles. No, them Giants. I'm going with the Giants. I got the Giants.
They finally got rid of Jason Garrett. They want to play better football at home.
Falcons versus the Jaguars.
I'm reluctant to pick the Falcons. They never win when I pick them. But I got to take the Falcons. They lose to the Jaguars. Then, hey, top five pick. We're going to solidify that thing.
All right, I'm going with the Falcons as well. Jets versus the Texans.
I'm going to take the Texans.
I'm going with Texans as well. Chargers versus the Broncos.
Justin Herbert, that's the man. I wish I had him on my team.
I got the Chargers. I got the Chargers too. Rams versus the Packers.
I got the Rams.
I got the Rams too. Vikings versus the Niners.
I'm going with the Vikings. They scare me, but
me
they
too.
Just,
I'm going to Dang, we got the same thing. I got the Vikings too. Hey, Ravens, Browns. I'm going to Ravens. I can't.
Lamar's back, baby.
Yeah,
enough said.
Yeah, I don't trust Justin. And we're in Monday night, Seahawks versus Washington. We ain't predicted, so I guess we can do it now.
I'm gonna take Russell Wilson in a comeback. I think that Riverboat, he's gonna gamble too hard, baby.
I'm gonna Washington in this game. It is what it is. All right. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Ant Papyrus Media at antpapyrusmedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ant Papyrus Media shows as well as other great content. Ray G's and I appreciate you all for listening. Make sure you keep tuning in. Hope you all have a great Turkey Day. And shout out, my homies who keep saying, I'll give them a shout out when they say something that's right about Bud Crawford being being the best welterweight in the game. Lawrence and Rodney, shout out to y'all. Y'all said it from day one, giving y'all your flowers. Now y'all get out of my face. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yiddy deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.